Chapter 7. Darcy. The adrenaline was still thick in my blood as I used the power of air to get back inside, lighting up the symbol above the doorway and stepping into a circular chamber at the base of the tower. My fingers buzzed with a tingle of magic, and I couldn't fight the giddy smile that pulled at my mouth. I just jumped from the top of a tower and survived, hair well and truly intact. I gathered my wavy locks into my hands, having an intense emotional reaction to them. I'd started dyeing the ends blue a year ago. It wasn't some indie statement or a cry for help. It was, in my own twisted kind of way, a reminder of one of the darkest and most pivotal moments in my life, which I was determined never to forget. On one side of the atrium, the gray stone floor met with a white marble staircase. I moved to the center of the space, gazing up at the incredible stairway circling high above me. I took a slow breath, fear and anticipation washing together in my belly as I made my way up the stairs. My Converses hitting the steps was the only noise around me, but as I made it up several more levels, I found my way barred. Seth stood alone, his arms folded, his eyes narrowed. The air between us was filled with static, and I expected a thunderstorm to erupt from him at any moment. Instead, he thrust a hand out, and in it was a silver triangle with a long key dangling from it.
11th floor, room 3.
My lips parted, but no words came out as I closed the distance between us and reached for the key. Victory sailed through me on a summer breeze. I beat him at his own game.
"Congratulations," he purred, but there was no kindness to his tone. "You survived day one in hell. Each day after this will be worse. Are you sure you don't want to drop out of Zodiac yet?"
I took the key from him, my hand closing into a fist so the sharp metal dug into my palm. "Why do you care if I'm here or not? We're clearly not going to get along, so let's just stay out of each other's way." I tried to move around him, but he sidestepped, planting his shoulder against the wall to block my path. Irritation rattled through me. He reached out, brushing his fingers through my hair, coiling a handful around his fingers. "Why do you keep touching me like that?" I jerked aside, my upper lip peeling back. He released a gruff noise in his throat.
"Because I'm an alpha, babe, and this is how I show you who's in charge. You need to forget about rising against me, because you won't win."
He tightened his grip on my hair, and I ground my teeth, refusing to let out a yelp of pain. "I don't have plans to rise against you, Seth," I said as calmly as I could. "I just want to go to bed." He grinned, tugging my hair extra hard, then stepping back entirely, gesturing for me to go past. I pressed my shoulders back, marching past him, feeling his eyes on me all the way as I fought the urge to rub my sore scalp.
"You owe me your hair," he called.
Anger flashed through my body hot and fast. I quickened my pace to a jog, wanting to put as much distance between Seth and I as possible. When I found my floor, I was thankful that there were no students around. I could hear panicked cries from somewhere high above, though, and wondered if the other freshmen had gotten off so easy after all. I headed down the stone corridor, which held 10 doors, 5 on either side. I pushed the key into the door of room 3 and headed inside with a sigh of relief. At my movement, a light came on above me and a smile captured my lips. The room had a dark wooden floor with a single bed to one side of it, made up with white sheets and fluffy pillows. The walls were the same gray stone as the rest of the tower, and they swept toward the vertical window at the end of the room. It was taller than me and had 2 heavy shutters bolted across it. To my left was a long desk, and above it were shelves of books and notepads. A line of white pencils lay on the desk, and my fingers itched. It had been ages since I'd had the inspiration to sketch anything, but it had always made me feel better, forget the world. If I hadn't been so exhausted, I probably would have jumped on the opportunity after the night I'd had. Next to the pencils was a slim device, sleek and white. It looked like an iPad, only wider, with a few rectangular buttons along the bottom of it, and a digital pen attached to the side. I brushed my fingers over the screen, and a noise sounded like wind chimes as the symbol of air appeared in black on a white background. A soft male voice emitted from it as the image dissolved, and several rows of apps appeared.
Welcome to Zodiac Academy. This is your Atlas. Your profile has been added to our database. You can now call or message your friends throughout the entire school. Click through the apps to discover your timetable, school events, pitball matches, and scores, and find your full syllabus for the term. If you need assistance, just send a message directly to your house captain, and they'll help you with any problems you have. Yeah, sure he will, I muttered, picking up the Atlas and finding my way to a long list of contacts. I typed Tori's name in at the top, but it found no results. When I typed Vega, I found my name listed as Gwendolina and Tori's as Roxania. I changed mine to Darcy, and my finger hovered over Tori's original name as I thought about the people who'd given it to her. Could they really have been the king and queen of this unknown world? I'd always thought we'd been orphaned, but now it was almost worse to know our parents had chosen to get rid of us. Orion had thought we'd been in danger, but from what? And if that were true, why swap us for some random human children and put them in danger instead? It was beyond cruel. Seth had mentioned Solaria was better off without my father as king, but judging from the nastiness I'd witnessed in him tonight, I wondered if I could believe anything he said. I gave up on trying to figure out the answers to the never-ending questions in my brain. Tiredness took hold of me, and as I checked the time on my atlas, I found it was almost 3 a.m. I yawned broadly, kicking off my shoes and slumping onto the soft bed as I called Tori. I prayed she'd answer. I had so much to catch up on with her, and I half hoped her time in Ignis had been easier than my time here. But somehow I doubted it. Wind chimes were calling to me, ting-ting-ting-a-linging. The noise grew louder and more persistent, and I rolled over with a groan, finding I'd fallen asleep fully clothed with my face squashed against my atlas. What Tori had been through sounded even worse than what I'd endured. She was strong as hell, but I always knew when she was quietly hurting. She'd sounded nothing but angry on the phone, but I wouldn't have been surprised if she'd let a few tears escape after what Darius had done to her. In the end, we'd both agreed to try and make the most out of this incredible opportunity. A few idiot bullies weren't going to ruin a whole lifetime of possibilities for us, but we needed to start learning about this world as fast as we could if we were ever going to survive here. Claims to throne and royal blood was all too much to take in without knowing a damn thing about what that meant. And the heirs would soon realize we weren't here to steal anything from them. With all that in mind, I was excited for my first lessons, to learn everything there was to know about my newfound powers. I couldn't wait to feel the kiss of them against my palms again. The chiming persisted, and I realized my atlas was the source of the noise. I squinted at the bright screen as a notification flashed up on it. Your daily horoscope is waiting for you, Darcy. I clicked on the message, and a night sky spread across the screen, shimmering brightly as words scrawled to life in silver lettering. Good morning, Gemini. The stars have spoken about your day. You've recently been through a transformative change, but now that the dust has settled, you're feeling strangely at home in your new landscape. The clouds are parting, and you can almost see the sun shining back at you. But don't be too hasty. Mars is still casting a shadow over your movements this month, and it looks like it's here to stay for a while yet. Between a Libra and an Aquarius, your day may become very challenging, but if you call upon your Gemini instincts, you'll find a way to rise above the trials thrown your way. I frowned. My Gemini instincts? I vaguely recalled my star sign described a Gemini as optimistic, and today I felt I was lining up with that assumption. Another message flashed up on the Atlas. Your cardinal magic class starts in 30 minutes, Darcy. Click here for a map. I pressed the button and found a route laid out for me leading away from Air Tower toward the orb at the center of the grounds. Ringing it were a group of buildings named after the planets, and my lesson was located in Jupiter Hall. I yawned broadly, getting out of bed and heading into my own private bathroom. The tiles were blue and white, and a huge shower unit stood to one side of it. There was even my own toothbrush and a whole basket full of cosmetics for me to use. I squealed like a kid as I washed in the waterfall-like shower, then applied a sweet-smelling moisturizer to my skin. Conscious of time, I rushed back into my bedroom and headed to a wardrobe which reached right up to the ceiling. I tugged it open, finding a uniform waiting inside for me. There were a few of them, plus a bunch of yoga pants, shirts, and sweaters with the Air logo printed on them. I pulled on my uniform, eyeing myself in the mirror inside the wardrobe door. The navy and white check skirt was pleated and brushed my knees, the white shirt crisp and figure-hugging. I pulled on knee-high socks and some pumps, then put my blazer over the top. Brushing my fingers over the golden crest of the academy, which was ringed with each symbol of the zodiac, I tamed my hair, which ran loosely over my shoulders, the blue tips almost blending in with the navy blazer. Today will be a good day, I promised myself, then grabbed a leather satchel from the wardrobe and tucked the atlas inside it, alongside a few notebooks and pens. I headed out of my room, locking the door before following the flow of students who were all descending the stairs. Some of them glanced my way, and mutters were exchanged. None of them said hello, but it wasn't going to bother me. I'd proven my worth yesterday, and I deserved my place here as much as them. In a few days, they'd probably forget I was a Vega twin, and I could start making some friends. Outside, the morning air was fresh, and the scent of junipers carried to me on the breeze. As the wind washed against my face, my skin tingled as if the weather were bringing the elements to life inside my veins. Anticipation rolled through me at the idea of using more magic, and I wondered what it would be like to wield fire, water, and earth too.
Your Majesty!
Someone called from behind me, and I turned curiously, spotting the burly girl who'd been one of the few students happy to see us in the orb last night. She rushed toward me up the path, her eyes widening with joy. Was she talking to me? She came to a halt before me, bowing her head low. I frowned, taken aback.
My name is Geraldine Gruss, and I am at your service. I wanted to let you know that you now have a loyal band of followers around you, the Almighty Sovereign Society. Do not fear the celestial ruffians who call themselves heirs. You and your sister are the true queens, and they will accept that soon enough.
She bowed again, and I sensed eyes on us as students headed by. I had no idea what to say, but I didn't like the attention she was drawing, or the way she referred to Tori and I as queens. We're actually not really here for the throne. The heirs are welcome to it, to be honest.
Sacrilege, she gasped, her dark eyes rounding. How can you say such a thing, Princess Gwendolina?
Don't call me that, I begged. It's Darcy.
Of course, as you wish,
she said with another flourishing bow. Oh God, make this stop.
Geraldine, a girl called. Is that one of the queens?
I sucked in air as I spotted a band of people running up the path to meet us. Nope, I'm out.
I'd better get going, I said quickly. I don't want to be late to class.
I gave her a polite smile, then hurried away, relief flowing through me when she didn't follow.
Remember, the ASS love you,
she cried, and several people who heard her started laughing. Really? That was the name she went with? The Ass Club? I didn't want to be ungrateful for her kindness, but I also knew there was a 99% chance I'd jump into the nearest bush the next time I spotted her coming. I soon found my way to Jupiter Hall and gazed up at the towering Gothic building in awe. I filed inside with the rest of the students and entered a wide atrium made of white stone. A row of pillars held up a stairway on the opposite wall, and I followed a group of freshmen up it toward the classroom on my timetable. Everyone moved inside, and I glanced over my shoulder, hoping to spot Tori at any moment. The classroom was built of honey-colored bricks, and one side of the room held a long row of arching windows, allowing the sunlight to fall across the space in 8 perfect shafts. There were nearly 100 students, and the wooden desks were filling up fast. I jogged toward the nearest one, planting my bag on the one beside it for Tori when she showed up. I was a few rows back from the front, where a crescent-shaped oaken desk sat before a large electronic screen. I pulled my atlas out of my bag, finding a message glowing on it. "Welcome to Cardinal Magic, Darcy. Click here to begin." I tapped on it and a blank page appeared. I took the pen attached to the atlas and scribbled on the screen to try it out. "Hey!" I glanced up, finding Tori beside me in her own academy uniform, her eyes hooded with lack of sleep. She was much less of a morning person than I was, but even I was feeling the pain of missed sleep today. Sophia was a step behind her, smiling brightly as she took in the classroom. "Did you manage to avoid the fire, asshole, this morning?" I asked Tori, tugging my bag off of the desk beside mine. She dropped into the seat I'd saved with a laugh, and Sophia took the one beyond that.
"Yeah, not on purpose, though. I'm not gonna hide from that jerk."
"We might have someone else we need to hide from," I said, filling her in on my encounter with Geraldine.
"She called you Your Majesty?"
Tori asked in disbelief, and I nodded.
"There's a fair few royal supporters in the school, from what I heard."
Sophia chipped in, and I quietly hoped they weren't all as enthusiastic as Geraldine.
"¿Qué pasa, amigas?"
I turned at the male voice, finding one of the air pledges dropping down to sit at the desk on my other side. I vaguely remembered him from last night. He wore a black beanie hat with a white cross on it, his dark hair curling out from beneath it. He had a kind face, his skin deeply tanned, but his eyes unusually blue. He raised a dark brow at me as I gave him a blank look.
"Oh, sorry. I thought you guys spoke Spanish."
He gestured at us in general. Our Latino looks had served us more than one occasion like this, but I was surprised to find it happening in a completely different world to ours.
"Are you from the, mortal world?" I asked, feeling strange referring to Earth as that.
He stared at me for a second, then burst out laughing.
"No, Solaria is a mirror world. The same, but different. Claro? So you've never learned our beautiful language?"
I smiled warmly, shaking my head. "Nope, we kinda missed out on learning since we were never in a foster home with anyone who spoke it.
Although there was that one maid who always called Mr. Harrison an hijo de puta."
Tori chipped in. The guy burst out laughing.
"So the only phrase you know in Spanish is son of a bitch?
That's what that means?"
Tori laughed.
"Yeah."
He took out his atlas and dropped his satchel on the floor.
"I'm Diego."
"Darcy, and that's..."
"Tori, I know."
He finished for me with a sideways smile.
"You're Los Gemelos Vega. Sorry, the Vega twins. Everyone's talking about you on Facebook since what happened at the orb last night."
"On what?" I frowned.
"It's a social media site for the school. Here, look."
Diego took my atlas, tapping on a purple app with a circle connecting each of the star signs. A social media page came up. "Facebook? He's got to be kidding, right?" I pressed my profile and found it had already been filled in for me. Star signs took the place of profile pictures, and the Gemini symbol shone in pink on mine. I tapped onto the newsfeed, and my mouth dried up as I spotted the most popular post at the top of the screen. Max Rigel.
"A big welcome to Darcy and Tori. Let's call him Dory to make it easier. I'm so glad the Vega twins showed up just in time to try and challenge us for the throne of Solaria, because I've been dying to try out my latest elemental combo attacks on someone. Hashtag water guns. Hashtag wetter is better."
Comments. Marguerite Hellebore. PMSL. Milton Hubert.
"Yeah, get him wet."
Gary Jones.
"Brutal, bro. Catch you at pitball practice later."
Millie Badgerville.
"You're so funny, Max."
Tori read it over my shoulder and blew out a breath of irritation. "Great. We're the butt of a joke on a social media site I didn't realize existed until 3 seconds ago." I scowled, closing down the app. "Just ignore it."
"I'm not like those idiotas," Diego said gently. "I don't know anyone here. My family live way out in the steeks of Solaria. Most of the Fae here already have ties with each other. It's muy clicky. So, if you want to hang out sometime?"
The door opened and Orion strode in, kicking it shut behind him as he sipped on a mug of coffee. I glanced at the clock on the wall, noticing he was 10 minutes late. He strode behind his desk, and the class continued to chatter with one another. I spotted Kylie cross-legged on a desk as she spoke with a couple of boys in the back row, twirling a lock of sunshine hair between her fingers.
I chewed on the end of my digital pen as I waited for Orion to start the lesson, wondering what we were going to be learning about today. I couldn't deny I was curious. Our whole lives had been tipped upside down in the space of 24 hours. And now I was sitting in a classroom in front of the hottest teacher I'd ever seen. I'd always had a thing for older guys. And that, coupled with the fact that Orion had the sort of face that made me forget to blink, meant I was definitely distracted. What kind of teacher looked like that? In my last school, the male staff all had various combos of handlebar mustaches and shiny bald patches. Orion planted his coffee cup on the table and grabbed a digital marker pen, writing across the board in large letters, "You do not have a place at Zodiac Academy." Tori and I shared a look as Professor Orion swung around. I noticed his tie was undone as he took hold of it, taking his time as he fixed it.
"Do you always get dressed on your way to work, sir?"
asked a boy in the front row, his words a clear jibe. Orion gave him a sweeping glance, tightening the knot at his throat.
"Name?"
he demanded of him.
"Tyler Corbin." "Well, Corbin, you're not here to cast judgment on a single thing I do. In fact, it's entirely the other way around. So if I want to show up naked 5 minutes before the lesson ends, I will."
A few of the girls giggled, Kylie included, and a ball of heat grew in my stomach. Orion pointed at Kylie.
"Sit in your seat, or you can stand on your desk for the rest of the lesson, miss."
"Kylie Major?" She sighed, then fell into her chair, tossing her hair over one shoulder.
"Read this out, Major," he directed, pointing at the board.
She cleared her throat a few times, and the pretty brunette beside her suppressed another giggle.
"You do not have a place at Zodiac Academy."
Chatter broke out again, and Orion folded his arms, his stare demanding silence. He got his wish, the cold look in his gaze daring anyone to disobey it. When the silence was so keen it rang in my ears, he spoke.
"You all have a midterm assessment, which will decide whether or not you continue here at Zodiac. We call it the Reckoning, because it will decide the fate of your entire lives. Zodiac Academy is the most prestigious school in Solaria, and we won't waste time on anyone who can't prove their worth. If you fail it, you're out. Back to whatever crevice of this world, or any other world."
He gave Tori and I a hard look.
"You came from. Is that clear?"
"Yes," we all said in unison, and my gut tied into a tight knot.
"Yes, what?"
he demanded.
"Yes, sir,"
everyone corrected. Orion pressed a button at the base of the board, and the words vanished.
"This is Cardinal Magic, where I will attempt to give you a basic understanding of all practical magic, simple divination, and astrology. Today, I will be introducing you to the Orders of Fae. None of you will be casting a single spell in my classroom until you have a basic foundation of knowledge to work from, so pay attention."
A groan sounded from several of my classmates in response. I wasn't too bothered, more than happy to learn the basics as I had absolutely no grasp on anything in this world.
"Everyone will need to be at the same level of understanding by the end of term. Whatever you think you know, you will soon learn there is much more that you do not."
He shut his blazer, and my mouth dried up at the press of his muscles against his pale blue shirt. He tapped the board, and a diagram appeared on it, giving me an excuse to look at something else. My atlas flashed, and I found the same image there with space around it for taking notes. Orders of Fae, Tinia, Parasitic Orders, Vampire, Siren. Mutatio, Mutating Orders. Dragon, Manticore, Griffin, Cerberus, Pegasus, Werewolf, Nemean Lion, Hydra, Caucasian Eagle, Chimera. Divisus, Spliced Orders. Minotaur, Medusa, Centaur, Cyclops, Sphinx, Harpy. I stared across the names in fascination, unable to believe all of these strange creatures really existed. Orion turned to face us again.
"You each have an order, most of which will have been apparent since childhood. Let me have a show of hands who does not yet know their order."
Tori and I slowly raised our hands, and Diego did the same. I glanced around, finding a handful more joining us, and I was glad we weren't singled out in something else. Orion nodded stiffly.
"Email me after class."
He turned back to the board without further explanation.
The Tinia have just two divisions, whereas if I have to write every mutatio on this board, we would be here until next week.
I gazed down the list, my mind boggling at the words werewolf, dragon, Medusa, cyclops, and all the rest. Orion pointed to the middle column.
The easiest way to distinguish a mutatio order is that they will shift fully into a creature without humanoid characteristics. The Divisus order can get confused with mutatio, but the easiest way to distinguish them is that the Divisus order maintain human-like characteristics when they have mutated into their magical form. The Tinia differ from the other two orders in that they maintain human form at all times, except for one feature. Can anyone name the feature of a siren which changes when they embrace their power?
He looked to the class, and I glanced around, finding many of the students with their hands raised. Orion picked a girl at the back with long braided hair.
Sirens get scales.
She twisted her hand in the air, and a shimmer of blue and gold rippled across her skin.
They're tough as hell and perfect for swimming.
Correct,
Orion said, and I jotted down the note on my atlas under sirens.
And what feature changes for vampires? Teeth?
Tori offered in a sharp tone. Some of the students snickered, and the hairs on the back of my neck rose to attention.
Correct, Miss Vega.
Orion rested his hands flat on his desk and peeled his upper lip back. My heart took a free dive into my stomach as his canines extended into sharp points. He grinned darkly, then ran his tongue across them as they retracted once more. My heart pounded unhappily in my chest. He was a vampire, like Caleb? My nose wrinkled as I stared at Orion, seeing him in a wholly different light, and not a good one.
And what is the purpose of vampire fangs? He asked.
To suck magic out of other orders,
Kylie called out, seeming excited.
Correct,
Orion said with a hungry glimmer in his gaze.
Any volunteers?
Nervous laughter rang out, and my stomach twisted up.
No,
Orion pressed, strolling casually into the aisles between the desks.
Because in Solaria, Fae don't tend to ask for what they want, do they?
He paused beside Diego's desk, and the boy's eyes widened.
Name?
Orion demanded of him.
Diego Polaris, he said. And as a teacher, sir, don't you have to ask for blood?
In answer, Orion snatched Diego's arm and dug his fangs into it. My heart slammed into my throat as Diego released a yell of pain, and I suddenly found myself on my feet.
Stop,
I demanded, and Orion extracted his fangs, wiping the blood from the corner of his mouth. Diego seemed a little weak, blinking heavily as he held his bloody wrist as far away from Orion as possible.
Problem, Miss Vega?
Orion asked, his brows arching as he assessed me. I glanced over my shoulder at Tori, and she shook her head to warn me off. I sank back into my seat, my heart thundering in my ears. I didn't answer him, instead looking away in disgust. Pig. Orion marched back to his desk and dropped into the wide leather chair behind it.
You have 10 minutes to describe the shifted forms of each mutatio in the table. Go.
He plucked up his coffee cup, drained it in one, then sat back in his chair, thumbing through something on his atlas.
Great. We'll just sit here for 10 minutes then,
Tori said under her breath, folding her arms. I nodded, pursing my lips. A few minutes into the task we had no chance of completing, I glanced at Diego. Are you okay? He nodded, seeming to have gotten over Orion's vicious attack. He dropped his eyes back to his atlas and continued tapping away the answers. My gaze drifted to Orion, who was grinning about something he was reading on his atlas. His eyes shimmered with a deep heat, and I firmly reminded myself he was only a beast with a beautiful face, just like Caleb.
Orion is so hot,
Kylie whispered, her voice carrying to my ears.
Yeah, and he knows it.
The girl beside her smothered a laugh.
He does know it, because he has vampire hearing.
Orion looked up from his desk, pinning them in his sharp gaze.
So if you don't want detention for the next week, I suggest you keep your petty thoughts to yourselves about me and any other member of faculty for that matter.
The girl's mouths dropped open, and a snort escaped me.
Oh, come on, Professor. As if you don't love having a bunch of girls drooling over you.
Tyler called out from the front row, shoving a hand into his blonde-tipped hair to mess it up. Orion rose from his seat, wandering casually toward the boy with a smile that said he was thoroughly amused. The guy grinned from ear to ear as Orion reached out to him. In a surge of movement, he cracked Tyler's head against his desk, and the entire class inhaled as his smile fell away. Orion pointed a finger and swept it across everyone in the room who wasn't yet sporting a head wound.
To me, each and every one of you is just a pair of ears. Ears that are going to listen to me speak and no one else in this classroom. If you want to talk to your little BFF in the seat next to you, go ahead. But you'll join Frosted Tips here in detention tonight. And trust me when I say, detention with me is not a fun experience. Detention?
The boy gasped as he rubbed his forehead. Orion's eyes narrowed on him with a, "Do you really want to backchat me right now?" look, and the boy backed down, nodding quickly. I released a breath I hadn't realized I'd been holding. That teacher had just physically attacked a student. What the hell kind of school was this? Tori and I exchanged a glance, and anger bubbled inside me. That was so not okay. "This place is crazy," I whispered to Tori.
"Batshit," she agreed.
My atlas pinged loudly, and Orion's gaze narrowed on me in fury. I waved a hand in apology before he lost it and tried to find the mute button. My gaze snagged on the notification on the screen, and I frowned. "You've received a private message on Facebook, Darcy." Overwhelmed with curiosity, I tapped the screen and navigated my way to the app. I found a single message in my inbox from someone called Falling Star, and their profile picture was of a crescent moon. "Falling Star, he didn't tell you the whole story." I glanced at Tori and found she had her own atlas pulled in front of her. I realized she was in the chat box too, and my brow creased as she looked to me in confusion. She tapped out an answer, and I glanced down at my screen as it popped up. "Roxania Vega.
Who?"
She seriously needed to change that profile name. I stifled a laugh, taking her atlas and doing it for her. She mouthed me a thank you as I passed it back. I'd always been slightly more tech-savvy than her when it came to computers. A sharp ping sounded from my atlas and I winced, my shoulders hunching as I locked eyes with Orion. If eyes could fire lasers, I would have been a puddle of guts right then.
"Miss Vega, are you entirely dense?"
he snarled.
"No,"
I forced out with as much strength as I could.
"Then why are your Atlas notifications switched on in my classroom after I gave you a clear warning to turn them off?"
My throat closed up, but I didn't want to let him see me flounder. I might have been 80% scared of this guy, but he wasn't going to know that if I could help it. "I didn't realize," I started, but he cut me off, his mouth twisting into a demonic smile.
"Don't ever lie to me,"
he growled, and his tone lifted the hairs on the back of my neck.
"Let's hear it then. What does this message say that is obviously important enough to interrupt my class?"
My breathing became shallow as I glanced down at the message on the screen. I traced the words with my eyes, and my day took a seriously dark turn. It felt like reaching the top of a roller coaster and realizing your harness was unlocked.
"Out loud, now,"
Orion demanded, and I spotted Tori shaking her head in my periphery, clearly having read it. "Well, bye-bye, life. It was nice knowing you." I cleared my throat as a few giggles sounded around me. Diego shot me a sympathetic look as I began to read it, every syllable enunciated, figuring I might as well enjoy the ride on the way to my doom. "The lump of muscle who teaches your cardinal magic class. Just to be clear, you'll recognize Orion by the scent of bourbon on his breath." A big inhale sounded from the whole class. The permanent scowl stamped on his face, and the general air of failed dreams about him since he lost his chance at playing for the Solarian Pitball League. I lifted my eyes, my heart lodged firmly in my throat as I met Orion's could melt a glacier gaze. The laughter was growing in the classroom, and Orion looked like a volcano ready to blow.
And which of your many, many friends sent you that colorful message?
He asked, deadly calm.
I don't know. It's sort of anonymous, I said weakly, offering up the atlas. He eyed it for a moment, then looked to the class.
Everyone return to their work.
He settled himself back in his chair, and I bit into my lip, the tension in my chest becoming unbearable. There's no way I'm getting off that easy. Orion returned to looking at his atlas, and I turned to Tori, a thousand words on my lips.
Do you think we can trust this falling star person?
She whispered. I don't know, I said thoughtfully. It's hard to know who to trust in this place. Orion suddenly waved his hand, as if he wanted me to get out of my seat. I frowned, glancing around for some kind of confirmation, but everyone was staring down at their atlases with a steely determination.
Miss Vega, if you're not standing up in the next 3 seconds, you're going to regret it.
Orion barked. Which Vega? Tori asked, barely concealing her jibing tone. Holy shit, Tor. Orion's eyes snapped to her.
The one who has tried to individualize herself by dyeing the ends of her hair blue. It has failed, by the way.
I pressed my lips together at the insult, deciding not to budge. You don't know anything about me, jackass.
Stand up, he commanded.
If I say no, are you going to smash my head into the table? I asked through gritted teeth. I might have been 1% terrified to call his bluff, but I also didn't want to be his next target. And it seemed everyone around here had to fight for their place in this culture. I wasn't going to be made into a weak link on my first day. And as I decided that, something innate came to life inside me, like a planted seed suddenly growing a little shoot. Hell, I really am Faye.
I'll do it.
Tori rose from her seat, but Orion raised a hand.
I didn't ask you,
he snarled. Tori pouted, then dropped back into her chair, rolling her eyes. I didn't like that Tori always took bullets for me. She didn't always need to protect me. I stood up and raised my brows as I waited for my sentence. Orion's mouth hooked up at the corner, and a predatory glint entered his eyes. Fear trickled through me, but I held his gaze, refusing to show my terror, though something told me he could taste it on the air.
Tell me the qualities and abilities of a Nemean lion.
He did that creepy smile thing again, like he was as happy as Larry. But I could see his tactic now. This was his way of intimidating people, pretending to be the friendly type. Like maybe he was on your side for a second, then bam, he slams your face into a desk. He knew I had no clue what a Nemean lion was, but he wanted to embarrass me, just like every other asshole in this school, apparently. I shrugged. I don't know.
I thought not, he said quietly. But while everyone else was working, you thought it was a good time to speak with your equally useless sister?
Anger flashed inside me, and Tori rose abruptly from her seat. Who are you calling useless?
Am I not speaking clearly enough?
She pursed her lips and didn't answer. He surveyed us for a moment, then his eyes glittered with some idea.
Both of you, climb onto your desks.
His sharp tone washed over me, and I felt unable to do anything but obey. My heart hammered as I scrambled up onto my desk beside Tori, and everyone in the room started chattering excitedly. Orion moved to lean back against his desk, his hands in his pockets. He nodded to Diego.
Polaris, please explain loud and clear to the ignorant twins on your left what coercion is.
Diego got up, his chair leg scraping across the floor with a screech. He adjusted his beanie hat, throwing us an apologetic glance before answering.
Coercion is one of the cardinal magics gifted to all Fae without exception. It's the ability to control those of weak mind and is particularly effective on mortals.
Tell them why,
Orion pressed, his eyes dancing with mirth as they remained on us. My heart thundered as all of this information sank in. Anyone who could cast coercion magic could control us. Diego cleared his throat.
Because most Fae learn how to perform a simple shield on their minds to block basic coercion from a young age.
Thank you. Sit down.
Orion told Diego, and heat built in my cheeks. We've never been taught any... Tori started, but Orion cut over her.
Quiet,
he commanded her, then looked to the rest of the class.
The Vega twins need to learn how to perform a simple shield. To encourage them to do so, you are all assigned the task of coercing them at any given opportunity from here on out.
Kylie squealed her delight, and several more of the class laughed.
What? I gasped. How are we supposed to learn to do something we've never even heard of before now?
Tori was still struggling to open her lips after he'd ordered her to stay quiet, but she was working real hard at it. Orion ignored us, pointing at Tyler in the front row.
Stand up, turn around, one command.
Are you kidding me right now? I blurted, trying to force myself to get off of the table, but finding myself unable to ignore the impulse to remain there. Damn it. Tyler grinned at us in excitement.
Jump up and down and flap your arms like a chicken.
My legs immediately complied as I started jumping, and my arms swiftly followed suit, flapping madly beside me. Tori was still desperately trying to speak while she jumped up and down in time with me. Heat slammed into my cheeks as laughter echoed around the classroom. Orion was grinning his head off too.
Who's next?
He asked, and Kylie's arm launched into the air faster than a NASA rocket. Crap.
Go ahead.
He nodded at her. She stood up with a malicious expression on her too pretty face, and my heart raced with anger. I felt the previous compulsion wearing off of me, and both Tori and I fell still.
Screw this, Tori snapped, kicking her atlas off of the desk.
Orion's arm shot out, and the atlas stopped midair, floating back up to sit right back where it had been before on an invisible wind. He opened his mouth to berate her when the classroom door opened and Principal Nova strode in. She surveyed the scene with a look of interest, then smiled at Orion.
How is everyone's first lesson going?
Terrible, I muttered, but she didn't seem to hear me. Orion's eyes flashed my way, confirming he had. I dropped off of my desk, folding my arms as I glared at him. I didn't expect Nova to do anything, not after she'd stood idly by when Caleb had bitten Tori. But maybe the distraction would be enough to put an end to this madness.
The twins are behind,
Orion told her bluntly.
They don't know a thing about the orders. Beyond that, they don't have even a basic shield against coercion, and I doubt against any other magic either, so they'll most likely be dead before the end of term.
My stomach scrunched up into a solid ball, and in that moment, I hated him. He was talking as if it was our fault for being so underprepared. We'd been here one day and spent our entire lives without any knowledge of Fey. How could we be expected to cast shields against magic we'd just found out about? Nova glanced our way.
Well, that won't do.
She tapped her lower lip.
They'll have to have liaisons for tuition once a week.
Orion nodded.
That's the least they need.
They'll need the best for the job, Nova said thoughtfully.
Right.
Orion scratched the short beard on his chin, suddenly seeming disinterested in the conversation.
So you'll have to tutor one of them, and I'll elect another professor for the other.
Orion's bored expression turned to a wall of fury.
I coach pit ball most evenings. I don't have time for that.
Yes, but you only coach for an hour. Then you have the whole evening at your disposal,
Nova said brightly.
You're right. I'd love to give my private time up for this,
he said dryly, and Nova beamed as if she hadn't registered his sarcasm. The principal looked to me and pointed.
Tori, you'll be taught by Professor Orion and...
I'm Darcy, I corrected.
Of course you are,
Nova backtracked.
So you'll be with Orion, and Darcy, I'll let you know...
I'm Tori, my sister huffed.
Right,
Nova stared, but Orion stepped in.
Blue, you're with me.
He pointed at me, and I scowled at the nickname.
Right, Nova said. You should start tonight. They need to get on track as soon as possible.
Great,
he bit out, and my stomach swirled with nerves. Me and him? Liaising? Please, no.
I'll leave you to it, then.
The principal turned on her stilettos and headed out of the room, snapping the door shut behind her. Orion sighed heavily, marching back to the board with tension in his posture.
Sir, Kylie moaned. Are we not doing coercion anymore?
No, he growled. Sit down and shut up. That goes for all of you.
Tori and I sank back into our seats, and my mood took an even darker turn. Spending my evenings in Air Tower with Seth and his friends had already seemed bad enough, but now it looked like it was going to get even worse. Me and Professor Bites his students in a room together? It sounded like the universe was having a really good go at ruining my day. And as I recalled my morning horoscope, I wondered if Professor Orion was a Libra.